I didn't just wake up this morning and think the weather's a bit glum, maybe we can talk about being feeling down. It was based partly, I wanted to talk about it, because there's this, and anyone that's got a scientific mind, as my scientist friends always point out, what I'm about to tell you is complete nonsense. But have people heard of the phenomenon of Blue Monday, which was last Monday, and it's supposedly some, again, my actual scientist friend tell me, some fake scientists made up this formula which expresses why last Monday, and it's the sort of roughly the same Monday every year, is the saddest day of the year. People feel the most glum on that day of the year. And it goes something like this. It goes, weather, imagine this is a sort of mathematical formula, weather plus debt minus the ability to pay the debt times the time since Christmas to the power of the time since failing your New Year's resolutions divided by low motivational levels times by feeling the need to take action. Now, it is bad science, but there is something about the sort of mid-January period when the glow of Christmas has kind of gone, when, like I say, you might have made some resolutions but haven't quite stuck to them. Sometimes people feel money pressure, sometimes people are back to work and not necessarily feeling so good about being back to work. It is cold. If you've got aches and pains in your body anyway, this is not a good time of year. There's things that kind of coincide to make January not the most fun time. And for me, it is something that's useful to be aware of and to keep an eye out for people that might be feeling a bit lower than possible. The other thing I think this Blue Monday thing does is that it raises the issue, and I think this is ultimately positive, it raises the issue about genuine depression and anxiety and other mental health problems that perhaps otherwise don't get talked about. Some of us will have heard statistics around this kind of issue, and these particular ones are from mentalhealth.org, and they talk about the level of mental health problems that people suffer with. You're likely to have heard the well-quoted thing that they think one in four people will experience mental health problem during the course of a year. One in four people. And they say that a mixture of anxiety and depression is the most common mental health problem in Britain. Women are more likely to have been treated for mental health problems than men. It's not to say that women necessarily suffer more, but it's that they may have sought treatment more. 10% of children are thought to suffer from a mental health problem at any one time. And it affects depression specifically affects one in five older people. And there are lots of other statistics as well, which go towards painting a picture that actually within the UK, and of course within the Western world and the world at large, mental health is a serious problem. And yet despite that, and despite the fact that some, if not all of us, will be touched by it in some way, it's still the rallying cry of those working with mental health charities or within national health or within the church that there remains a stigma attached to it as an issue. There remains much misunderstanding attached to it as an issue. And there remains a sense, sometimes, that people who suffer and struggle are somehow maligned or ridiculed or somehow less of a person as part of it. You may have seen there was a small news item where George Osborne had received some criticism by mental health charities for referring to someone as losing their marbles and making a play on words about that kind of thing. And again, there's sometimes, even the way language is used can sometimes be presented in such a way that makes mental health problems difficult for people to address. Now, I have to say, I'm fortunate enough to have been part of some amazingly compassionate and understanding churches when it comes to these sorts of matters. But actually, within the life of the Christian faith, there can sometimes be an additional stigma attached to mental health problems. Something you maybe hear quoted is something saying like, well, you shouldn't be depressed because you should have, insert here, sort of Christian sentiment, faith. You should have more hope. You should pray more. And I think, personally, I think this is a really unhelpful attitude, and it doesn't acknowledge the fact that these are more often than not, and vast proportion of them not, genuine medical conditions. And of course, you never hear anybody say, you've clearly not got enough faith, or you'd wouldn't be bringing those crutches with you to church if you had a broken leg. When I had my broken toe, nobody suggested to me that it was a result of not being having enough faith. It was to do with being stupid and tripping over an ironing board, but that's another matter. So it can be an attitude that this is something as a Christian you should get over, or you should somehow shouldn't affect you, which I can think is a really unhelpful attitude towards those that might be struggling with anxiety or depression or other mental illnesses. And yet there is an awful lot within Scripture and within our tradition about the darker side of human existence, about the things we struggle with. And it sometimes especially seems to go on with people who try and really try their hardest to follow God. We've already heard a reading from the profoundly anguished Psalm 102, and there are many other psalms which express something of existential struggle and human angst and anxiety. People who feel abandoned by God, or people who feel like their circumstances are too much to bear. We've also been considering Jonah's story this morning, a story which ends, as we've said, with Nineveh saved, but with Jonah profoundly depressed in the desert, angry, wishing he was dead, railing against God. There are many other examples throughout the scripture. In 1 Samuel, it speaks of Hannah, and it says that she wept and would not eat. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Later on in 1 Samuel, it talks of David weeping until he had no more strength to weep, and of also being greatly distressed. Despite his incredible prophetic ministry, Elijah asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." Into the New Testament, and in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes of being so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. And of course, there is that famous passage describing Jesus' mental and spiritual anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. In Matthew's Gospel, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And there are many others, examples too, through Scripture, people, prophets, leaders, Jesus himself acknowledging these great and expressing these great mental struggles. Now, of course, we now need to be careful about reading modern ideas onto ancient texts, and we should be careful about that in any issues. And it's not necessarily possible to present a clear modern-day clinical diagnosis on what these people were going through from the texts. But I would say it's not too much of a stretch to say that there were those in the Bible who were suffering with what we would describe and understand as intense anxiety, depression, and other mental conditions, mental health conditions. And in normalising such struggles and making them a part of the human and the Christian existence, theologians such as Dietrich Bonhoeffer and others have showed that this mental suffering is an acknowledged and an understandable facet of human life, whether the sufferer has a Christian faith or not. And therefore, the stigma attached to it ought to be dispelled. And as Christians and as people working in the community, we ought to be encouraging involvement with doctors, with counsellors, with psychotherapists and more for those of us and for others that we know who are suffering both inside and outside the church. Of course, as anyone who has suffered from mental health problems or who's supported people going through mental health problems will know, there are no easy solutions to these kinds of issues. There is no quick fix. There isn't a simple prayer that you pray or a simple course that you go on and everything is dealt with. However, that's not to say that there are not positive ways to find both deliberate initial treatment and ongoing support. as I've already suggested, seeking help from doctors and counsellors, and for some people, Christian counsellors provide a really interesting addition to that professional help. That is something that I would definitely encourage to anyone who felt that they are struggling. Theologically and practically, there are also a number of antidotes the church might have to offer to mental illness. Although, unfortunately, we don't have time to go into them in massive detail this morning, but I'd happily talk about these things further with people. And I've got a few resources as well about mental health issues and how we develop and administer as a church, and it might be something that we want to consider as we look to the future of this church. But there are a few things that I might just briefly reflect on. Three particular factors that are acknowledged as playing into depression and anxiety are these: loss, isolation, and hopelessness. There's other facets too, but these are three particular ones that I think the Christian faith and the church has can have a deliberate and good response to. In the face of loss, the Christian faith offers the potential for lament. We've already read that psalm of lament this morning. We don't often hear things like that, even as we go through the psalms read out in church. We don't often allow space in church for people to express genuine anger and anguish and sadness. But in the same way that people involved in therapeutic professions would suggest that the expression of our sadness, the expression of our anger, the expression of our loss actually has a therapeutic and positive role to play in our recovery, then so too the Christian faith and the church can play a part in that by allowing people to express their sadness to God, to express their loss to God, to express their anguish to God. And so we shouldn't shy away from that. And it might be in prayer, it might be in conversation, it might be in pastoral encounters with those that we know and trust. Conversely, as well as the need to express things when we're going through times of great sadness, creating spaces for stillness, for silence, for contemplation and meditation can also play a really positive role in people struggling, particularly with anxiety and issues like that. And again, it's something we've wondered about as we seek to develop the ministry here. We've had occasional prayer meetings on a Wednesday during the cafe, and we wonder whether could that be something that we explore and build on. Talked about the idea of maybe Lectio Divina, doing that prayerful reading of scripture. Are there other practices that we can build into our life here that give people the space for stillness and contemplation? So, loss, isolation. In the face of isolation, at its best, the Christian faith offers community. Now that's something I feel very strongly, that's something we manifest, that we show here at Hister Methodist Church, a sense of community, a sense of belonging. And I do think when you look back at some of the prophets, particularly the Old Testament prophets, one of the major problems for Jonah, I'm sure, is that he was completely alone in his life and in his ministry to Nineveh. God spoke to him and he was alone. He ran away and he was alone. He went on a ship and he got chucked out and he was alone. He did these things alone. And I do sometimes wonder, reading that story, what difference it would have made if he'd had friends around him, if he'd had a religious community around him, if he'd had a family around him. Of course, the Christian faith is founded, it comes out of, all of creation comes out of belief in a Trinitarian God, in a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The very nature of God is relationship. God is in relationship with God's self before anything else comes to be. And so we, as Christian community, build and off that foundation. We build on that foundation a community that is all about relationships. And of course, for anyone familiar with these kinds of things, depression and anxiety and other mental health issues can often tempt the sufferer to withdraw from society, to withdraw from social interaction. And it might sound a little obvious or even a little bit trite, but by being a community together here, whether we're here on a Sunday, whether we're here on a Wednesday, whether we're here in other ways in which we minister during the week, we are playing a part in combating that isolation and combating that withdrawal that so many people might go through when they're struggling. So loss, isolation. In the face of loss, we can provide lament. In the face of isolation, we can provide community. And in the face of hopelessness, of course, we would like to believe and we would like to hope that Christianity offers hope. Now again, if there's anyone here struggling with depression, saying, just have hope, again, might sound a little bit trite. But there's something beyond our surface feelings. There's something at the heart of the Christian faith that says that through the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, we have a hope in a God who is with us today. A Jesus who weeps with us in our suffering. A God who in Jesus gives us hope for the future as well as for today. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ are at the heart of that hope. We see evidence of Emmanuel, God is with us in all that we endure. For some, mental suffering can often seem to pull us away from God or make us question whether God is even there. But the core of the gospel would suggest that in precisely those moments, God is closest. In the face of loss, we can provide lament. In the face of isolation, we can provide community. In the face of hopelessness, we can provide hope. And here in Histon as well, in the few weeks' time, in the middle of April, churches are hoping to be involved in something that the council and the local agencies are putting on about doing a special mental health week in Histon. And I want to kind of flag that up now for those people that might think that's something they would particularly benefit from or like to get involved with. And something that in this prayer for Christian unity this week, week of prayer for Christian unity, we might want to add to our prayer list. So as a church, and in conclusion, I want to ask whether we might consider whether there is anything else we want to explore and offer in this area. Is lament something we want to integrate more fully into our worship and prayer life? What other ways might we offer community to the isolated? How do we express hope for those who might be feeling hopeless? As I've already said, there are no easy answers when it comes to mental health. And as anyone who's suffered long-term or supported those who are suffering will know. And I suppose as I circle back round and end where I started, in a perverse kind of way, I find the end of the Jonah story encouraging. The ending of that Jonah story is ambiguous and it's angsty. There isn't a happy ever after for Jonah. Jonah is still Jonah, still grappling, still struggling, still angry. And yet he has lived and continues to live an interesting and beautiful life for God. And God, let's not forget, our loving, compassionate, suffering God, remains with Jonah in all that he endures, as he remains with us too. Let's have a moment of stillness as we bring those thoughts before God. Lord God, we come before you as we are. You know our heart, you know our mind, you know our struggles and our joys. You know those close to us who struggle too. Pray that you would give us wisdom and insight. Pray that you would reach down to us in our darkest times and encourage us. Pray that you would help us be individuals and a church community that offers hope to one another and hope to the world. Through Jesus Christ, who is the source of our ultimate hope.